Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, August 4th. Capitol Coverage beat reporter Benta Berkland was on the Western Slope this week, collecting information for future stories. She stopped by the KVNF studios on Thursday to talk with KVNF News about some of the issues during the off time between legislative sessions. This year is different than most because the governor's race of 2018 is starting to cast a long shadow on all political affairs in Colorado. We spoke with Benta about what is happening in the governor's race, about the big issue of transportation funding in the state, and about the perceived divide between big cities and small towns that drives political discourse at the state capitol. We're joined in studio today by Benta Berkland. Thank you so much for being here, Benta.
My pleasure.
As we've seen in the news recently, Donna Lynn, the lieutenant governor, announced that she's considering running for governor. If she does, she'll be the 11th candidate, joining four Democrats along with six Republicans. State Treasurer Walker Stapleton might enter the race as well. And I just had two questions about this. Why do you think there are so many candidates? And will the lengthy governor's race overshadow Hickenlooper's last year?
Good question. I think I'm not surprised there's so many. We have a governor who's term limited, and that just opens up the field. The previous governor's race, you have an incumbent governor, and that's a lot harder to oust. And so I was surprised when we had two Democratic members of Congress in the primary. Ed Perlmutter has since dropped out, so we just have Congressman Jared Polis. But there's a pretty deep bench in some of these primaries, so I think it's going to be interesting. Regarding Donna Lynn, the lieutenant governor, I personally was surprised when Hickenlooper appointed her. He said he made sure to pick someone who was not going to run for governor. And she said that pretty clearly. She had no interest in running for governor. And at the time, our former U.S. Senator Ken Salazar, Democrat, also the former Secretary of the Interior, a lot of people thought he was going to run for governor. He has since said he's not doing that, but the thought at the time was Hickenlooper didn't want to give someone this unfair advantage by making them lieutenant governor. I have been on the road and not caught up with folks to find out more about that story, and she hasn't announced she's running for governor. She's just considering it, so whether she will or not, we don't know, but I was surprised she was even considering it. And to your point, if this lengthy governor's race will overshadow Hickenlooper's last year, to be determined, but it's very likely. We have a legislative session starting in January. The political season is already in pretty high gear, and it's just going to keep ramping up. I think that will overshadow the legislative session for sure. And any big initiatives that they're going to have to try to do, they're going to have to do that at the beginning part of the session, because we're going to have lawmakers also running for Congress in the state legislature. So a lot's going to be happening, and it'll be interesting to see what Hickenlooper's last year is like and how he may want to make his mark and cement his legacy.
And Hickenlooper recently said that he thinks the governor's race will be defined by the economy, environment, and health care. I noticed transportation is noticeably absent from that list. Do you think that lawmakers are kind of gun-shy about taking on transportation after it failed in last year's session?
Definitely. Last session was the session to tackle it because it wasn't an election year. You had the top Republican in the legislature, the Senate president, in favor of sending a tax increase to voters, and then he supported a tax increase for transportation. We have a $9 billion shortfall over the next decade. And you had Democratic leaders, including the governor and the Speaker of the House, also on board. So a lot of us felt like this could really happen. It wasn't just Democrats proposing it. And of course, then they would have had to sell that to voters, and that would have been a whole other thing. But if you are going to sell something like that to the voting public, you do need high-level Republicans and Democrats. Even if it had passed, though, I think there would have been a big challenge because you had Republicans running for governor, like George Walker, district attorney, railing against a tax increase for roads. So with those voices making it kind of a campaign issue, it could have been difficult. But I think you're right. That's not something they're going to revisit in a serious way this next session.
And there's a lot of talk about the divide between rural and urban in Colorado. And we saw that with the threat to funding for rural hospitals that was barely averted in this last session. I wonder, do you see that gap getting wider at the state house? Or from your work with lawmakers, do you kind of have a sense that there is at least a still small sense of common ground between small towns and big cities?
What's pretty interesting, and I've noticed that this last session, the rural Republican lawmakers are much more bipartisan and working with Democrats significantly more than the Republican lawmakers in the surrounding metro area. So some of the issues with this funding rural hospitals, there was a study, it was a healthy kids survey, and it looks at sexual activity and drug use and suicide. It's anonymous, but the state health department finds this data very useful. They say it's important to their public policy and getting information on youth and teenagers. A lot of Republicans feel like it's invasive and it encourages drug use by asking the questions. And so that was controversial. It was Republican rural lawmakers who sided with Democrats to get that through the Senate. And they were worried about suicide in their regions, and they said, no, we need this survey. So there's been a number of issues like that where even voting for the budget, some of the rural Republicans have been the ones who've done that. So it's interesting dynamic. So I do think there's a little bit more cohesiveness than we maybe hear nationally, but definitely different perspectives. Our state's unemployment rate is 2.3%, but some parts of the state are still really hurting, and they feel that that's being overlooked, and it's just a different environment that you're living in a different atmosphere. And so that's hard to translate that, but certainly a lot of talk from lawmakers across the board about helping rural Colorado. How well they do it or not is pretty subjective, but it's on people's radar. And I think there's a lot of collegiality at the state legislature for the most part. They spend a lot of time together, and they are on the chamber floors all at once. And so they get to see each other a lot. And I think that helps build some rapport.
And we've been joined by Benta Berkland from Capital Coverage. Thank you so much, Benta.
Happy to be here.
The Olathe Sweet Corn Festival takes place tomorrow, August 5th. And while some things have changed, the one constant remains Olathe's fabulous high-altitude sweet corn. The Montrose Daily Press reports that new to the festival this year will be the Palisade Brewing Company, which will be the beer sponsor for the 25th annual edition of the event. Palisade takes over for Colorado Native, which had been the beer sponsor for the past couple of years. Palisade Brewing will donate its profits from the event to the Boys and Girls Club. Wine from local vineyards will also be available at the festival. And, as always, the festival will have fun and games for the whole family, live music, and, of course, plenty of Olathe's signature sweet corn. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, my name is Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.